Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Of course, Bob Brown. Of course, Boo Broon. Of course, Bob Brown is a part of this one. Not good, Bob Brown. What do they call him? Fajita Bob? Fajita Bob Brown, the state lawmaker out of the, Sanders County area. No, we're talking about the Bob Brown, the former Secretary of State, Bob Brown, who's basically a Biden, Kamala Harris Democrat now. Just like Mark Roscoe, yeah, the guy responsible for the demise, or many people consider him responsible for the demise of Montana Power Company. Some of you would actually point the finger at Goldman Sachs and the people who were running the company, but there were many people who blamed Mark Roscoe for the demise of the Montana Power Company. But basically, Mark Roscoe and Bob Brown are both a couple of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris Democrats. So it's no surprise to see that Bob Brown was a part of this lawsuit. No surprise to also see that Don Seifert, the left-wing former Gallatin County Commissioner, is also a part of this lawsuit with Bob Brown. This was an interesting headline, though. Tom Luty has this for the liberal Montana Free Press. Jury concludes gerrymandering was not the primary intent as the legislature drew the utility commission districts. Let's see. A Helena jury has concluded that Montana lawmakers' primary purpose in redrawing the state's current utility commission districts was not to favor one political party over another. You know, the thing, so the way that these public service commission seats were drawn, the legislature, I think Dan Stusik called in one day and talked about this. The legislature, the Republican-led legislature, basically used the legislative redistricting to come up with the Public Service Commission redistricting maps. They used the maps that basically the Democrats put together for legislative redistricting, and they used that to determine how these Public Service Commission seats were going to be drawn, right? And the Democrats filed suit. Oh, you're gerrymandering. No, you guys just can't win public service commission seats because you're a bunch of left-wing climate alarmist nut jobs. But here's what's very interesting about this story. Jury concludes gerrymandering. So when a case involving state government, here you have, you know, basically Democrats filing suit against Republicans, what usually happens? It goes to some liberal judge. The liberal judge alone, he alone, rules and decides, now we're going to just throw that case out. I side with the Democrats is what the judge ends up doing. But this case went to a jury. This case went to the people. The people decided this case. And even in Lewis and Clark County, which has in the past at least been more Democrat-leaning, the people decided with the legislature. Think about that. So instead of a judge saying, no, I'm going to decide this case, and then he rules on behalf of the Democrats, the people decided the case and they ruled on behalf of the Republicans. Go figure.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A few flurries or snow showers possible in parts of the area early today. Otherwise, a break of sun develop with high temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the low to mid 20s, and then the outlook for Wednesday calls for a passing rain or snow shower chance mainly in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is House Call for Health. Actor Jamie Foxx recently opening up about a near-fatal experience that sidelined him last year. According to Variety magazine, the Oscar and Grammy winner suffered a brain bleed. In his new comedy special, Foxx shared the details of the life-threatening medical emergency. The 56-year-old says back in April, he was having a bad headache when he blacked out. Doctors said Foxx was having a brain bleed that has led to a stroke, and that if they didn't operate on him as soon as possible, he would die. He did recover from the brain bleed, Foxx later learning he'd lost consciousness for almost 3 weeks. The Cleveland Clinic describes a brain bleed as a type of stroke. It causes blood to pool between your brain and skull, which stops oxygen from reaching your brain. Treatments include surgery and medications, depending on the severity and location of the bleed. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Clint Peck is a former Montana Extension agent who started the Yellowstone Cellars and Winery in Billings. He's now back in action for American agriculture as a writer for Beef Magazine. We talked with him about one of his latest columns where he talks about the southern border being shut down for cattle, not people. Check out that story and much more, plus our conversation with Leslie Robinson, the first woman to be the president of the Montana Stock Growers. Full story on both MontanaTalks.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so think about this. Imagine all of these cases. You know, we've been talking a lot about judicial reform here in Montana. We had incoming Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery on the show talking about the 27 different proposals that the Senate Select Committee on the Judiciary has put forward ahead of the 2025 legislative session here in Montana. We had an independent lawyer, a private sector lawyer who is an independent, you know, not a Republican or a Democrat, who just simply says, hey, there's some reforms we can make. Yeah, why not take part in this process? So he took part in the process. He's been serving as a citizen on that select committee. He joined us here on the show. And we've been talking a lot about this. And why has there been so much focus on judicial reform? Because we're seeing these kangaroo courts here in Montana. We're seeing these Soviet-style show trials here in Montana. It's not just something that we've seen take place against President Donald J. Trump and, you know, peaceful pro-life protesters and others, but we're seeing it right here in Montana with this corrupt, biased judiciary that we have. I mean, we've got, you know, a massive number of these judges were put on the bench by former Democrat governors. And then you've got the left-wing mob running the Montana Supreme Court. And then Jim Rice and some of the others have Stockholm syndrome and are too weak to do the right thing. And it's like they've been, you know, taken, you know, they've now just totally fallen for their captors. It's just a anyway, you know it. If you've been tuning into the show, you know the problem. So, but think about this story. So this case involving, you know, the Public Service Commission redistricting, it went to a jury. How come all these other cases haven't gone to a jury? I mean, look, here's the deal. So a jury gets a chance to look at a case and they're like, well, let's see. They built their maps based off of how the legislative redistricting was done, so that there's some congruity here. Why are you guys arguing that this is gerrymandering? If these maps are gerrymandering, then why weren't your maps gerrymandering? It's just kind of common sense stuff, right? I mean, think about it. So if there was a case involving, oh, there was a case concerning you have to show a legit photo ID, like a state-issued ID card, in order to vote. You put that before the people. You put that before a jury of our peers. The common sense decision, well, of course you have to show an ID card to vote. But you put that before a liberal judge. Liberal judge says, nope, I'm a blank check for the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party does not want you to have to do this sort of thing. Nope. Liberal judge, I and I alone will rule from the bench. So many of these common sense decisions, you know, setting reasonable limitations in place. Now, some of you would argue that any abortion is unreasonable, that it is the taking of a life. I get that. But you know, the majority of the populace right now, they don't want to, you know, ban it altogether. But they do think that there should be reasonable limitations in place. And but you put it before a liberal judge. Nope. No limits whatsoever. No limits whatsoever. And so that's why this story is just so interesting to me, because it's a reminder of how biased the judicial system is here in Montana right now under some of the, and there's some good judges out there, of course, there are, but the left-wing mob that is currently running our Montana Supreme Court is an embarrassment. It's the worst court in the entire country, according to former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson. And so this story shows us that, wow, the Republicans get a favorable ruling out of a court because it didn't go to just one person in a black robe who thinks that they and they alone get to decide any laws they like and any laws they don't like. And the people actually got to decide this case. All right. Let's see. Lots to talk about this morning here on this show. Another legislative story. What was the other one that I had in front of me here? Let's see. Here it is. So State Senator Carl Glimm. He authored a guest opinion column that's been running in several newspapers across the state. I printed this one up from the Billings Gazette here this morning. State Senator Carl Glimm out of the Flathead Valley starts with this. He says, here is a rhetorical question for Montanans. Would you rather state government spend public money on things like billboards in Chicago to attract more tourists, or use that money to lower your property taxes? I know exactly how my constituents in the Flathead Valley would answer that question, and I'm sure their opinion is shared by other Montanans. That's why I am bringing a bill in the upcoming legislative session to change how the state uses money that is collected from lodging taxes and car rentals. For years, tourists and Montanans alike have paid a tax on their hotel stays and rental cars. It's one of the only ways Montana, without having a sales tax, can collect revenue from the millions of tourists who visit our state every year. What those taxes are used for has fluctuated over the years, but one of the primary uses has been state-sponsored recruitment of more tourists. So anyway, this is a proposal that State Senator Carl Glimm is putting forward. He's going to join us on Friday's Montana Talks in the statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show to talk more about this proposal, a little more background on this as well. But yeah, your taxpayer dollars basically going to fund, you know, billboards in Chicago, bus advertisements in Seattle. Now, look, tourism's very important to our state, but is that going to come to an end right now if we don't spend a bunch of money? And hey, look, people need relief on their property taxes. We should all agree on that, right? So why not use that money that way? All right, phone lines are open. Back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most of us are too busy with our daily lives to pay much attention to what economists argue about. But one of those arguments has gotten a lot quieter since COVID. That's something called secular stagnation hypothesis. Economist Larry Summers famously declared about 8 years ago that the world's largest economies all suffered from stubbornly low growth rates, even with low inflation and with interest rates near zero. In other words, the conditions for investing and making bets on the future were excellent, yet no one was making those bets. We certainly saw that in Europe and Japan, and even to some extent in the U.S. But COVID, and more specifically COVID spending and inflation, turned it all upside down. Interest rates are higher. Inflation is all around, even if a bit tamer. And growth in the U.S. at least has surged ahead. The policy needs of today are no longer trying to kickstart an economy that won't grow. It's taming the inflation monster that spending and growth have given us. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America. Secretary of the Navy Carlos Del Toro spoke Monday at the 11th Annual Women, Peace, and Security Symposium held at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. The secretary stressing that the role of women in the military is not just expanding, it's necessary.
We are stronger when we welcome every qualified patriot who is eager to serve. That's not just a matter of national principle. It's a matter of national security.
Secretary Del Toro adding,
we must promote and institutionalize women's meaningful participation in all spaces and processes where national security decisions are made.
He says the Navy is a good example of doing just that.
The depths of the oceans,
the skies above, the rugged terrain, the battlefield, women today fill our most
vital roles. Del Toro says that the women who serve these days are true role models. Kevin Yurensky, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordblund. Looking to Wolf News this morning, a U.S. Congresswoman from Colorado has made it clear that when it comes to wolves in her home state, the federal agencies have not complied with the law, and she has demanded action before another paw is on the ground. With an exclusive interview, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
U.S. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert sent a letter on December 13th to the Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland, making it clear that the secretary and her agency have neglected their responsibilities. Boebert said the federal agencies failed to update resource management plans on the basis that the wolves were not released on federal lands to evade federal jurisdiction.
This illegal importation has to be stopped. Wolves do not obey arbitrary boundaries. They're not aware of them. And it's ridiculous to think that the federal government would be exempt from an update to these RMPs, which currently don't take into account the presence of gray wolves. There doesn't seem to be any coordination or communication with critical stakeholders.
Boebert said the release of wolves exposes the need for a full NEPA, which she said the federal agency has neglected.
Really, everywhere I go in Colorado, I hear concerns and extreme frustrations about the rushed importation of these gray wolves, which seem to be going anywhere but the places that voted for them, like Boulder and Denver. There have been multiple documented attacks on our livestock, and yet there seems to be only increased urgency from CPW to bring more wolves into our state. These bureaucrats, they're putting wolves ahead of our ranchers and farmers, which is unacceptable.
Boebert also called into question whether public comments to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services were considered prior to the release of the final wolf management plan by CPW. I'm Rachel Gable.
With more on Boebert's letter to the Department of Interior, which remains unanswered, check out westernagnetwork.com.
Ranchers, if you missed out on the Pays Blue Ribbon sale and you're still in the market for bred heifers or stock cows, you're in luck. That's because Friday, December 20th, is the Northland Stock Cow and Bred Heifer Sale at the Public Auction Yards in Billings, Montana. Over 4,000 head are expected. Sale time is 9 a.m. You can buy with confidence knowing these bred females are loaded with some of the best bovine genetics money can buy that'll turn that grass into pounds, money, and beef. To check out the consignments already on the books, visit publicauctionyards.com.
Does the higher cost of interest have you worried these days? Then give me, Aaron Oxart, or any one of the credit staff with Montana Livestock Ag Credit a call today. We pride ourselves on consistently providing one of the most competitive interest rates in the state, along with top-notch customer service to your kitchen table anywhere in Montana, and a quick loan turnaround process. Give Montana Livestock Ag Credit a try. Call us at 800-332-3405 or check us out at ag-credit.com, Facebook, or Instagram.
Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst of Iowa, along with a bipartisan group, are pressing the Environmental Protection Agency for answers about its process for verifying used cooking oil imports. A congressional probe revealed that Customs and Border Protection considers UCO imports as pure, even when mixed with virgin vegetable oils like palm oil. And in response, the senators criticized the EPA's verification process as ineffective. They say without a strong verification system, the renewable fuel standards credibility is at risk, and American farmers are losing valuable market opportunities. The lawmakers noted that through August, the U.S. imported a record 3.2 billion pounds of used cooking oil, enough to replace 270 million bushels of soybeans. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordblund.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We've got a couple callers on the phone lines we're going to get to here. Got some messages that came in on the Montana Talks app here. This one, I think, came in last night. This came in from Tom in Billings. I hope I'm not too late with this, but did anyone catch Taylor Sheridan mention Stacy's in Gallatin Gateway at the start of Yellowstone on Sunday? That was from Tom, U.S. Army retired. Tom, good to hear from you. Yeah, I did see that. That was kind of a cool little reference there for the great Stacy's in Gallatin Gateway. So, yeah, I saw that as well. Although now I'm like, do you want to admit that you watched the show Yellowstone? I think now it's safe to say it. Everybody who was skeptical at first, they were like, man, I'm not going to watch that show. And then they watched a couple episodes and then they got hooked. But yeah, it's all coming to an end. It's coming to a close. Tom, thanks for the message. Lightbrows in Hardin had a great message as well. He's got a very cool special forces background. You know, these drones over New York City and New Jersey. And there was speculation yesterday. We were talking about the speculation that this is some sort of government exercise. And I'm like, yeah, but even when they have a training exercise in a live environment, like out on the town, they have an entire annex about, you know, public affairs and how to communicate to the public. So why did they not even know how to communicate to the public with what is going on right now? That's why I think there is more to it. But anyway, yeah, Lightbrows and Hardin said this. We always had public affairs office statements prepared for our exercises if any questions were ever asked about what was happening. These folks have none of that. Something is seriously lacking in the command structure if it is our government doing this. Otherwise, it is probably a foreign government. That's from Lightbrows and Hardin talking about all the swarms of drones over New Jersey. And we're talking pickup-sized drones that are flying. All right, let's get into the phone lines here. We got Jim in Billings. Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, good morning. I'll try to make this quick and stick to the point. I've been thinking about this terrorist stuff. It's like, if you've got a sovereign country, why would you let people who hate the country into the country? They actually hate God. And not everybody in this country knows God. So it's like, you let them in on purpose, because you want them in here. We don't know where they're at. Bull crap. You're in contact with them. Not all of them, but like they burned the four that one was New York, L.A., and Chicago. They didn't need them. That made it look like they were doing what they're supposed to. But they're in contact with other ones, and they cannot let Trump get into office. We've got 1 month and 3 days, and I will be extremely surprised if there ain't a terrorist attack on inside job, because I'm assuming that.
Well, Lindsey Graham, and hey, thanks for the call. We got to get to the Fox News. Lindsey Graham said he is. What were the exact words? He talked about his concerns over a potential terrorist attack. All right. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Look, at this point, I think everybody knows full well that this invasion of this country was deliberately allowed by the current regime in Washington, and they're doing everything they possibly can to allow more people in the meantime here. Yeah, that's the other angle here. You look at, remember, even before the election, you had the FBI director and others. It was the FBI director in particular testifying on Capitol Hill about the blinking lights everywhere and about all of the threats facing this country that have grown exponentially during this weak Biden-Harris regime. And so, yeah, January 20th can't come soon enough. Thankfully, President Trump is already acting like and being treated like he is the president already. But Lindsey Graham, though, Senator Lindsey Graham out of South Carolina, I think he was on with Hannity last night and says he is very concerned that because of this current administration, that there could be a potential a big attack. I'll play that audio after the break. Let's go to our next caller on the line. We've got Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's on your mind?
Good morning. I just a couple of quick talking points. It seems that creepy Mayor Pete Buttigieg wants to move from Indiana to the state of Michigan in order to become the governor. And I talked to Hugh Manzi, who often calls into the show on Tuesdays because of John Jackson. He said it's a sick joke. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But just a quick question on these drones, NASA. NASA are experts at the design and making, manufacturing of drones. They've been suspiciously very quiet on this whole issue, this whole subject of this drone invasion. I just kind of wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. Would they normally comment on something like that, domestic security situation? I don't know. Speaking of NASA, did you see President Trump has nominated or announced his intention to nominate Jared Isaacman, if I remember his name right. I know it's Isaacman is his last name there, but to be the administrator for NASA, which is pretty cool. So Jared Isaacman actually has a home in the Big Sky, Montana area. He's got a hangar down at the airport with all of their SpaceX jets in there. Now, the reason I know that is because we had the Polaris Dawn mission pilot, Kid Petit, on the show with us, and Jared Isaacman was the mission commander for Polaris Dawn, which was basically the SpaceX space crew that was just in space this past summer. And we got a chance to chat with Kid Petit on the program, not only before they went up into space, talking about their training here in Montana, but also after he got back from that space mission as well. So it was great to chat with him. All right, let's see. I think we got another caller calling in right now. I'll play the Lindsey Graham audio with his concerns about a potential terrorist attack right after the break and get to your calls and more. Plus, we got some more messages that came in on the Montana Talks app over the past couple of days as well that I need to get to.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is with us. Senator, look, you're as involved in homeland security and national security as anybody in Washington. Do you know anything about these drones?
Well, I know this. The people telling you you have nothing to worry about are the same people in charge of the border. It's not so much lying, it's incompetence. The only way we'll ever convince the American people what's going on here is to have the Trump administration level with you. I don't know what's going on. I've never been more worried about an attack on the homeland than I am right now. The border is completely broken. We've got a chance to control our border early on in Congress. Hope we're smart enough to take it. We're playing Russian roulette with our national security. But this is a combination of years of being lied to and incompetency coming together. Why are all these sightings in November? There's something new going on. The people telling us about the drones have lived there all their lives. So there's something new going on. What is that something new, and why is it around military bases?
Yeah, great questions there being raised by Lindsey Graham, and it's just blatantly obvious to all of us. We said that before the election. It's no surprise that people would have these concerns after the election. And by the way, his point about the residents of New Jersey, there was, I think Jesse Waters mentioned this on his program last night, there was a meeting with all of these mayors in New Jersey and the Biden administration, and a reporter got access to basically, or maybe it was on Fox and Friends this morning, but a reporter obtained audio of that, you know, basically Zoom call with all of these mayors in New Jersey and the Biden administration. And they were all basically making the point that how crazy this is and how they're not getting any answers. So look, it's not like this is just a few people on the internet that are freaking out over something they saw or something they thought they saw here. And then just the failure to communicate and just the lack of trust all around for this regime because of what they've done with the border and everything else, as Ryan Zinke laid out in that audio we shared yesterday, is why nobody trusts a word that these guys say. All right, let's go to Scott in Manhattan next up on the phone lines, listening to 1450 KMMS. Scott, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Aaron. Just something quick.
I listened to the Sean Ryan podcast, and he had a lady on there named Sarah Adams, and she is an intelligence expert for the Pentagon. And her information that she was laying out on not just the possible of terror attacks, but they are going to attack, was absolutely frightening. I encourage everyone that can hear this today to listen to that exact podcast on the Sean Ryan. It's amazing that we have thousands and thousands of terrorists waiting in the midst for a date, a certain date, to attack. So get prepared, and let's be very vigilant on this. That's all I need to say, Aaron. One more thing. Thank you for your service to our country.
Hey, you're too kind. You don't need to do that. Yeah. What? Here's the thing. I want to get your thoughts on this too. If you're still on the line there, Scott, is that I was thinking this even separate from concerns over potential terrorist attacks, because as Lindsey Graham pointed out, as you pointed out, look, nobody's trying to fearmonger here. Nobody is trying to bring this great train to a halt here of what's going on right now. But I do think we need to have our eyes wide open to what's going on. My concern, so I'm watching and listening to all this news over the past 24 hours, and you've got all these billionaires and all these CEOs, Apple's Tim Cook, and you know what's his face from Amazon is going to be in Mar-a-Lago later this week as well, and I feel like, you know, just like how in 2016 they went all of these folks went all in attacking Donald J. Trump. My concern is that our side is that the American people now will get lulled into sleep. Because they'll think like, oh, everything's great now. Donald Trump's going to be in office. Everything's going to be fine. All these corporate leaders and all these billionaires, they've all woken up. They're all ready to play nice. They're all ready to do what's best for America. I don't think so. I think they are going to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring to try to save their own asses and to keep the regulators off their backs. I don't think a lot of these, I don't think the Aunt Bezoses and the others of the world are going down there because they care about what's best for the country. I think a lot of these guys, and Donald Trump has his eyes wide open, I think, too. But I'm just saying, I'm glad President Trump is getting the honeymoon that he deserved back after the 2016 elections, but I don't think our people and the American people should get lulled into sleep, because my concern is that the American people are going to get lulled into sleep, and all the terrorists that have been allowed to break into this country are going to wait for the opportunity to strike. And not only that, but the very people that hated Donald Trump for the last 10 years aren't going to just stop hating Donald J. Trump right now. They're going to try to bide their time for the next 4 years and hope that they can just escape whatever they've done to this country, escape consequences for whatever they've done to this country already. Anyway, your thoughts there, Scott.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that. My point is there are, it's going to be a certain date, and it's going to all happen at once. It's not going to be a little one here, a little one here. It's going to be a mass attack, just kind of like October 7th was over in Israel, but probably even worse than that. So I just want everybody to be vigilant, keep their eyes open, see something, say something. I'm not trying to fearmonger. I just want everybody to be prepared, Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's right. And it's kind of like you're being like the coach here, right? What does a coach do at halftime? If the team's doing really well, you got to bring people back down. You got to get them focused on reality so they don't get overconfident and then start making mistakes. And when your team's down at halftime, you want to build up their confidence. You want to get them excited so they can come back and get in the game, right? And so right now, you know, everybody's in the locker room and they're feeling great. But, you know, so it's time for everybody to just, like you say, like, hey, let's be real here for a second, too. So I appreciate it, Scott. Thanks for calling. Great to hear from you.
No problem, Aaron. You have a great day. Thank you.
Hey, you too. All right. And it's not because, you know, nobody should live in fear. You know, if I had a friend, he actually ran the numbers. He said, you know what command is listed, is spelled out more times than any other command in the Bible than anything else? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And yet, look at how some people just live in fear and are afraid every single, about everything, every single day, right? So we don't say this to feed into people's fears. We say this just to face reality here. Be thankful for the good times that we know are coming for our country, but be well aware of how America's enemies will try to disrupt that. Jeff in Laurel, next up. Jeff, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was thinking that the drones were perhaps basically they have maybe some hybrid technology from past downed alien ships, and that's the reason why the government doesn't want us to know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that'd be fun for the overnight radio shows, but I just think they're just incompetent. You would think that there was something so crazy, so far out of left field, that's got to explain what's going on right now. No, sometimes the simplest explanation is the best explanation. It's just straight up incompetence from Kirby and the rest of these guys. What's that?
I agree with that. I really do. The problem is, you know, it's linking everything together. So it's like Glenn Beck had said that on an earlier broadcast that the War of the Worlds, when they did that was to see how everybody's going to react.
Well, and that's what this could be, right? This could be, and maybe our government knows more of what's going on, and they're not letting on to it, and they're not responding because they don't want to tip their hand. This would be assuming that they're better prepared than they probably are. Because, you know, we would see that when we were in Iraq, for example. I had just a brilliant company commander when I was in Ramadi, Iraq, back in 05 and 06. And this was one of the things we'd war game. You know, a vehicle comes onto your observation post or approaches your patrol of Humvees or whatever, tries to roll up on your Bradley fighting vehicle, whatever. You have to do a full AAR, after action review, on any instance like that. Because, yeah, could it be that somebody just, I took the wrong turn, and sorry, good people, and I ran onto your observation post? Yeah, it could be. But it could also be them probing you to see how you respond or how you don't respond. But what we are seeing with the response out of this this Biden regime is just complete ineptness. Once again, what did President Trump say about the drones? Wait till you hear this next.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I think the thing I'm most obsessed with is this new government, the Department of Government Efficiency, with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. And they're promised to slash $2 trillion. We are getting some insight into where they're going. You know, in 1955, there were 1.5 million words in the U.S. tax code. Ask yourself in your mind's eye, what do you think? How many words, 1955, 1.5 million words in the U.S. tax code? What do you think that is today? I mean, there are more than 16 million words. I mean, 16 times. Americans collectively spend 6.5 billion hours preparing and filing their taxes every year. You think we could fix that?
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated in the best hearing aids of 2024 by USA Today, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 500,000 happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
I went to My Computer Career because I needed job security.
Because I wanted a career
career in cybersecurity.
I went to My Computer Career because IT jobs are everywhere.
My old job was going nowhere.
I went because I didn't want college loans for the rest of my life.
Because I wanted a career for the rest of my life.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes available online or in person. Financial aid available for qualified students, including the GI Bill. 529 college savings plans accepted.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A few flurries or snow showers possible in parts of the area early today. Otherwise, a breaks of sun develop with high temperatures in the upper 30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the low to mid 20s. And then the outlook for Wednesday calls for a passing rain or snow shower chance, mainly in the Bozeman area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Clint Peck is a former Montana Extension agent who started the Yellowstone Cellars and Winery in Billings. He's now back in action for American agriculture as a writer for Beef Magazine. We talked with him about one of his latest columns where he talks about the southern border being shut down for cattle, not people. Check out that story and much more, plus our conversation with Leslie Robinson, the first woman to be the...
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, let's see. Let's get the latest, based off of a Fox News Radio report that we got earlier this morning here. President-elect Donald Trump says during a press conference Monday that the government is ignoring or hiding the origin of the drones reportedly seen across New Jersey and other states. This is why I don't believe that this is some sort of a government training exercise, because why would they look like they were caught so flat-footed? You know, if you're going to war game an exercise, part of what you war game is how you message to the people, how you communicate to the people. Like, if you're going to do some simple training exercise here in Montana, it could be something as simple as like, hey, we're going to go, you know, we're going to be, doing an airborne operation. We're going to be parachuting out of helicopters in Helena this weekend. Well, okay, what do we tell the press if they ask about it? Well, it's National Guard soldiers, you know, parachuting out of helicopters. Look at how cool that is. Hey, right. And look at how flat-footed they are. Look at how much they're bungling their public communications on this front. And I get it, like the Biden regime is inept and they can bungle practically anything. But this is something, communicating about something like this, if there was an actual exercise underway, that's why I think that there's more to it. Sam Faddis, a former CIA operations officer, just had a post. I shared this via X. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint. He raises the question, so it's the Chinese who are behind the drones, because he details in this post all of the Chinese nationals that have already been busted flying drones over military installations or shipbuilding facilities in Newport News, for example. Chinese nationals busted spying on ships in South Korea. So much more. But here's the latest from, I think this is Madeline Rivera with Fox News Radio.
The Biden administration maintains they're trying to be transparent as President-elect Trump says this.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from.
Federal officials saying for the most part they do know what is happening. They say they've received 5,000 tips of drone sightings over the last few weeks. And out of those, they say there are about 100 that they need to follow up on. The FBI, FAA, Defense Department, and DHS releasing this statement. We assess that the sightings to date include a combination of lawful commercial drones, hobbyist drones, and law enforcement drones, as well as manned fixed-wing aircraft, helicopters, and STARS, mistakenly reported as drones.
Yeah, see, there they go. See, they're trying to downplay it. Look at all these reports. It's actually airplanes. It's actually STARS. Are there going to be some false reports here? Yes. But they're using that as a distraction to downplay what's actually being seen. When you've got pickup truck-sized drones hovering over homes of congressmen, yeah, that's not – anyway, we're getting short on time here. Let's sneak in another caller. We've got Tom in Billings on the phone lines. Tom, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I'm not so much concerned about these drones. Democrats are always doing the sleight of hand thing. They'll shake your hand with the right, and then they got a fist behind their back. In the meantime, Joe Biden is selling all that fence for the border at pennies on the dollar. And Donald Trump even asked him not to do it, because all they're trying to do, there's no peaceful transfer of power. They're going to say, see, Donald Trump, he had to bring in billions of dollars again to build that border wall for his ego. No, they need to stop selling that wall, because that wall is going up. And if there's any governors like Texas or Arizona that can buy these walls and they get reimbursed so Joe Biden doesn't sell it at pennies on the dollar. It's all sleight of hand.
Yeah, potentially. That kind of ties in with that whole, you know, don't get lulled into sleep here by all of, you know, look at all these people. They're playing nice with Donald Trump right now. Not the Biden regime. They are trying to do everything they can to create as much chaos to drain the piggy bank before Trump takes office again in January. All right, thanks for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most of us are too busy with our daily lives to pay much attention to what economists argue about. But one of those arguments has gotten a lot quieter since COVID. That's something called secular stagnation hypothesis. Economist Larry Summers famously declared about 8 years ago that the world's largest economies all suffered from stubbornly low growth rates, even with low inflation and with interest rates near zero. In other words, the conditions for investing and making bets on the future were excellent, yet no one was making those bets. You certainly saw that in Europe and Japan, and even to some extent in the U.S. But COVID, and more specifically COVID spending and inflation, turned it all upside down. Interest rates are higher. Inflation is all around, even if a bit tamer, and growth in the U.S. at least has surged ahead. The policy needs of today are no longer trying to kickstart an economy that won't grow. It's taming the inflation monster that spending and growth have given us. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.